Specs.
You scared me there. Yes, Smooch.
You know what I'm hearing? That me and you have a stripped live show coming.
No way.
Yeah, man. November the 10th at the Everyman Broadgate Cinema.
What, just me and you? Or are we talking to someone?
Some special guests are going to be there, yeah.
Special guests? Do you know what? I think it's The Undertaker. What are people? Make sure you're there.
See you there.
I never ever forget Sir Bobby coming in at half-time. We're having a team talk. He just got stark naked in front of us. And was like, all right, boys, just going for a shower. And we're just like...
What?
They're going... As I've got close to the fans, they're all looking in this direction. Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer was walking out.
You didn't check your wing mirrors. You didn't check your mirrors.
Oi, that's class.
Hello, I'm David Vianic.
And I'm Spets Gonzalez.
And this is Stripped, brought to you by William Hill.
In this show, we talk to celebrity guests as we get nostalgic, looking back at retro football shirts that made us fall in love with the game.
That's right, our guests pick four shirts to tell the story of their life. Mm-hmm. First one, the haunted one, the unforgettable one, and the named one.
Well, today's guest, boy, big time singer, songwriter, 6 platinum albums, and he's up, it's Jose Mourinho. Ladies and gentlemen, Ollie Murs.
Ollie Murs.
Welcome. Good to be on here, fellas.
Welcome.
Thank you for having
me. To a show. Good. How time, have you
man.
Been?
Been good, man. Been good. Really good. Yeah, things good. Life's good. Yeah, can't complain. Yeah.
Every time I look at you, because you know we go week soccer aid.
Yeah.
And I see you play. And I see chunks on the field as well. And I'm like, Ollie, man, is there a way I can play and we get chunks off?
Oh, that's one of the can't say that.
I mean, he's my power, but that's one of the worst players I've seen on the pitch.
Oh, no,
he's good. He's good.
Is he better than me? Come on, Ollie's here.
Different position.
Where do you play?
Centre back.
Yeah.
You can't. Chunks has got his own vibe. He's a centre forward. He's a hold up man. He's got great feet and can find a goal. You need to come and play centre half then.
That's right.
That's where we're leaking goals.
Specs, you can't compare Mitrovic and Evra.
Why not? They're football players.
Nah, yeah, you can't compare. Different
is it?
Types.
The positions, is it?
Different cars.
Okay.
Nah, Chunks is great. You know what? He's underrated. He can play.
He can play.
Yeah, he can play.
Good hold up player, I reckon.
Honestly, a great lad. Honestly, in the dressing room with the boys. Great guy. I love his enthusiasm. And you know what? He loves it. He loves football.
Mm.
So, yeah.
But one issue I had was that he didn't get to take the penalty this time.
I mean, that was a sore one. I wasn't there, but it was a sore one. I mean, when I watched it, I did think, oh, come on, right. You got to let Chunks
take
it.
He won the penalty.
Even in Premier League football, I'm like, you know, sometimes if you've won the penalty and you're a striker, you want to take it, don't you?
Mm.
And Chunks at the time, you know, it's Soccer Aid, it's Upton Park, it's a huge moment. I'm thinking, give it to Chunks. And to be fair, he can take pens. He's a good player.
Who was in goal? Was it David James? Was it who was in goal?
I can't remember now. That weren't David James.
Weren't
it
David
was the rest of the world. I think it was Edwin van der Sar.
Okay. Oof.
I mean, you are rating yourself. I mean, fair play to Wrighty or Chunks saying, I mean, honestly, I am not stepping up and taking that penalty. I'm like, no. I'd give that to someone else. For people watching at home on Twitter and social media, oh, it's just a charity match. Come on. Like, you can see in that moment, Chunks wanted it. Mm. Regardless if it was a charity match or not, he wants that penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And Wrighty wanted that penalty. And that's. And I don't know the ins and outs. I mean, something obviously went on the sidelines, but it all felt very... I felt very tense at home watching it. I was a bit like... Mm. Knowing it well at half-time, I'm sure there were things said. I'm sure things happened.
Fisty
but
cuffs, little...
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, Wrighty's great. Right. I'm sure they all got on really well. Yeah, they spoke about it. I mean, Harry Redknapp's the manager, so...
I know.
From what I heard, it was all...
Harry
decided who was taking the pen. That was it.
They should have a boxing match. Because everything these days is sorted with a boxing match.
It's true exhibition, they call it.
Don't you think?
Just put people in the ring, let them have a fight.
I think there's many things right now in the world that could be sorted by a boxing match.
Would you do it?
I wouldn't. I'm saying like world issues could be sorted
with
YouTube boxing.
That's true. That's true.
Is there a celebrity boxing match that you'd love to see?
Me?
Hmm.
Boxing fight?
Boxing.
I don't know.
How about you, Spence?
I don't know, actually. I think to be fair, I mean, these YouTube guys are getting it. I mean, they're getting some good fights to watch. I mean, I'd get in the ring with someone.
Carol Vorderman. Yeah. And who was the one from with the circles and they put the names up? Oh, I forgot their name.
Circles with the names
oh,
up?
Oh, and Anne Robinson.
Yeah.
What you mean Strictly?
Fight who?
What are you talking about?
The one that does... Yeah. What's the show called again?
Strictly Come Dancing.
Weakest link.
Oh, and Robinson.
Yeah.
When her and Carol Vorderman have a fight.
Yeah.
Is that like some weird fantasy you've got?
I'm just thinking for YouTube.
Where did you pluck this from?
We're going nostalgic. This is a show where we go nostalgic.
And we're just the weakest link.
The weakest.
Oh boy.
It's been off TV for years.
I know, but bring it back.
Oli, who'd you get in the ring?
Anyone.
Pick some. It could be a car, it could be anyone.
You pick someone. Who'd you want to see me fight?
Oli, you in the ring.
Come on.
Him and Robbie Williams.
Me and Robbie?
Yeah. Your friends.
That'd be hard, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can't be anyone that I'm really good friends with. That's hard. You've got to get sucked up to like,
be a good friend.
In a minute. And you'd just be like, you would find it hard.
And you just hug.
I don't know. Thing is, I love training, but I actually train boxing.
Okay.
I do it every week now. I've been doing it for the last 8 weeks. I really enjoy the training, but it's a whole different level when you're actually someone's genuinely throwing punches at you. It's not.
Yeah, I wear glasses, so I don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Biggest excuse, boy.
Who knows? Someone call me out. Come on.
Yeah, someone. KSI.
No, I don't know what weight he fights at, but
he's a big guy.
No. Give me the guy that he fought on his last event.
Oh my god!
Like, give me him. I'm sweet.
That guy was.
Yeah, he still wears L plates.
The one he fought first wasn't he a singer?
Swarms.
No, but they were fighting in the first fight in the first round, and it was like it was chalk and cheese, wasn't it? I mean, he KSI absolutely battered him.
Give me
an opponent like that that's pretty easy. I'm happy. Yeah,
you know
but
no, we'll find someone.
You've got the movement.
People, I dare you to call you out. I'll be the ref. Yeah.
No, I'm messing. I genuinely don't want to fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
That's right.
Now this is Stripped. You know, it's a show where we say to celebrities like you, if you've got any old football shirts,
yes,
that you're not wearing, you could always pass it on to me and Vooch because we still wear. Our old tops to festivals and stuff.
That's right.
It's a cool thing now, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
I used to have so many kits and now they're just back in trend. And I wish I kept some of them. Some of them I just threw away. I was like, I don't need that anymore. I know. I'm like, damn it. Some of them shirts are like a vintage now. They're like not worth money, but they're worth something to you. They're like memories.
Damn it.
But then my old, some of my old shirts wouldn't fit me now. I mean, I bought them when I was like 10 years old. Talking about shirts. The Euros last year was when it really, for me, love seeing people in old England vintage shirts. Mm. And see, I've got the 1990 Gazza one. That's classic, right?
Classic.
The Umbro 1990. But I did like the different colours they brought out. They did a range last year, didn't they? They did a black one, a red one, and they did the old sky blue one. So I did like that. But the one shirt I always struggled to get, and if you go online to try and get it, the Admiral one. It's an old one.
That someone get it for me. And a guy like
someone
that.
Get it for me, please. If you've got it, send it to me.
The Admiral England shirt is one that you can't get it anywhere. And if you can, it's expensive, proper.
Or maybe on Classic Football Shirts, shout out to them who have provided us with our kits today.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
And I like the brand Admiral because it's like three waves and a guy looking through the hole like that.
At the World Cup this year, I will have an Admiral. I will message you guys.
Let's go to the first one.
The first one.
First shirt.
Yeah, that first shirt that made you fall in love with the game. This is where we always start off. And you have picked the Manchester United 1983 to 1995 away shirt.
Now I'm a bit shocked, Ollie. You went with the black. I mean, this. I was looking at this, thinking to myself, why this one?
This is a classic Man United shirt. For most United fans, I'd like to think I've picked a blinder there. That shirt for me was like, I don't know what about it. It was a sharp view cam. It was black.
Yep.
We had the yellow writing on the back for the numbers. It was just
Ollie, the blue. I mean, the
blue on the edges.
Blue, the navy blue with black. I just don't know. I feel like that's an argument on the shirt already.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It doesn't. You know what
navy
I mean?
Blue and black is controversial.
It's controversial.
But I think it can work.
Mm. The shirt worked for me. That whole period for United was a great time. And that shirt brought back so many memories of me as a kid, me and my bro. Growing up, we were like, he had Lee Sharp on the back of his shirt. I had Ryan Giggs on the back of mine. I had the duvets. I had the Ryan Giggs duvet set.
Oh.
We had the Manchester United wallpaper, like anything that had Manchester United on, and we had everything. And so the kits, that kit is, I mean, my parents still have that kit because it was so iconic. It was our first proper full kit. It weren't just the shirt. You're talking socks, shorts,
full kit.
The whole kit.
Shoulder shirt.
Yeah, it was a full kit, yeah.
So what was your thought on, obviously, you know, you picked this, the away kit, and Eric Cantona wore this same shirt
and kicked a fan.
Yeah, I know.
Is that a part? Paris.
I mean, is that why
also? No, of course not. I mean, like what he'd done that day, I mean, was like one of the most shocking football moments you're ever gonna see. And even when I was, I mean, back in the day, I remember me and my dad were listening to it on the radio. Because them, you know, there wasn't a Wednesday night game then. It was like, I think it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday night game. And I remember hearing it on the radio. And my dad was just like, I think Cantona's like been sent off. And like, sounds like he's jumped into the crowd with kung fu kick or something. And then when you watched it back, you're like, what has happened here? His head's completely gone. But yeah, I mean, you know, he had the collar, didn't he, Cantona? I mean, at that time, he was our best player. I mean, at that time, say he's our best player, but he was the leader of that team. He was the inspiration. He was the guy that would drive us through games. He was the guy that would, I don't know, he just had that, he just gave us that little va-va-voom at the time. And he just, his whole persona. And with the collar up and everything, I mean, the reason I didn't pick the shirt because of that, I mean, that's an amazing moment you guys have just remembered. Like, it brings back memories for me because we missed him then for the whole of that season.
Took a gap year.
9 months out of the game. So I remember him coming back at Old Trafford to play against Liverpool, and it was like, you know, he was the Messiah was back, like the man. And our season had really gone a bit iffy, I think. It wasn't great. I don't even think we won the league that year, did we? I don't think we won the league that year. We didn't win the league because we didn't have Cantona.
I think Cantona was, he was important. Because even me with my football tops, even though I didn't support Man United, I definitely put the collars up.
Yeah.
That was like a style.
It was a statement.
It was such an amazing, such a, and how, oh my God. Mm. So I'm at Soccer Aid and Cantona was playing, right? So I've just been named captain. Like, can't believe I'm going to be captain at Old Trafford and Eric Cantona's here and he's going to play. And Pele's here. He's like, mad. We're at the team hotel and I'm like, I've got to get a photo with Cantona. I'm finding Cantona. And I'm wearing this Puma top that has a collar. So I went and got a photo with Cantona and he's got his collar up. And when I looked back...
Collar's down. Mate, your collar's down.
Mate,
you didn't even check your mirrors.
No, you have
to check your mirrors, Ollie, man.
I'm genuinely...
He indicated, but
you know
check.
When people say, what's your biggest life regret? Not getting... Not having my collar up when I'm chatting to Cantona.
Do you know what I would have done? I promise you, I would have got Tipex.
Can someone Photoshop that?
Yeah, they can.
Draw a collar with the
tip. And then in 20, 30 years' time, I completely forget that I ever done it. Like, oh, man, when I had my collar up for Cantona, everything. Because honestly, I was mortified. I remember posting on social media and like loads of United fans were like, why is your collar not up? And I was just like...
What man though, Cantona, isn't it? He comes out with these really cryptic statements these days. I love him.
Mm. This is the no joke. I've met some amazing singers in my lifetime. I mean, I sung in front of Whitney Houston at the Dorchester in London, right? On X Factor. I'm stood in front of like Whitney Houston, right? I've been on stage with Robbie Williams. I've even performed with Sir Paul McCartney, right? I met some huge stars. Mm-hmm. When I met Eric Cantona, man.
Eric Cantona's bigger than Whitney Houston, he's saying.
I'm telling you, it was like,
That's amazing.
This guy is like, I don't know if he's United fans. If Eric Cantona walked in now, I'm telling you, even used to, you guys talk for England, you'd be like,
Whoa. Has he got like a certain authority vibe? A certain
awe, authority. It's just like he's a god, man. Like, he's just like a football god. Like, I don't know, something about him. Honestly, when I met him, I was so nervous, so starstruck. Just like.
Did you talk much or did you just get the photo and leave?
Mate, I got the photo. And just like, sorry, Eric, I didn't know what to say, man. Photo, started my words. I couldn't even put it into gear. Like, I was in clutch. I was like, la, 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 la. I was just all over the place. And I just got the picture left. And then I was just like, oh my God.
Didn't pop my collar.
Didn't pop my collar, yeah.
You've got to pop it. Usher. Great song.
So anyway, that was probably my biggest life regret, yeah.
Mm. It happens, man.
Forget everything else. That is, that's it.
Why United? Because you're an Essex boy.
Mm-hmm. Dad. My dad, yeah. We just followed my dad's lead. You know, there was a moment when my uncle was a big influence on me and he was a big Liverpool fan at the time.
Ooh.
And he was trying to persuade me to go to Liverpool, but my dad was huge into United and people always go to me, oh, but that's because they were the most successful. They actually weren't at the time. When we started supporting United, it was probably around 1990. We weren't even the best team then. I think Sir Alex had just won his first trophy at United. Howard Wilkinson was the manager of Leeds and Leeds were the best team and Liverpool were still the giants of the 80s and everything in the 90s. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I started supporting United, we went on this like unbelievable, like every I used to get the stick all the time, why did you support United at school? And then all of a sudden it became like, oh, like, you know, United were the best team and that was it. And we just won everything. And I sort of walked around school like, yeah, like puff your chest out, you know, I don't care.
Whatever
my shirt underneath my blazer. Like, I don't care. Rock a Man United bag. I couldn't care.
Ooh, you had all the merch.
I didn't care, man. I absolutely loved it. And I didn't care that I was from Essex. And then what made it so amazing is start of the 95-96 season, balls on the halfway line, Selhurst Park.
Oh, what's
David Beckham, from South East London, smashes the ball 100 yards into the back of the net. And I'm just stood there going, a lad that speaks like I speak, he's a Cockney boy, and he's playing for Manchester United, and everyone was a Beckham fan, obsessed. Mm. And then my school life became so much easier because then, you know, it wasn't just about having a Manc accent. It was like, well, David Beckham plays for Man United, so I can support Man United. You know, I always get stick all the time, but got a season ticket, I go. You know, I've been a Man United fan since I was a kid, so, yeah.
Brilliant.
And my dad used to go to the away games. You know, my dad was always like the Georgie Best era and the Brian Robsons and all that. So he used to go to a lot of the away games because back in the day, for Essex Reds, they'd call them, like, they'd be able to get in games back then because you just literally turn up first come, first serve. Whereas now, it's obviously slightly more complicated than that. You can't do that anymore. But back in the day, my dad used to get on the train, head down to Ipswich or to Norwich or London clubs, and you'd just be able to turn up and get in.
I was going to say, did you ever get in the sticker books?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, especially the first Premier League ones, the Merlin Premier League sticker books.
Them books were frustrating, man. I always used to get the same player.
Eddie McGoldrick. Every time. Yeah. Eddie McGoldrick. So many little ones. Stuart Nevercott was always a really hard one.
So you had the old sticker book then, way before me.
I'm talking like 92, 93. I've got them all. I wish, if I'd have had a bit more time to prepare, I would have gone back to Essex and brought them in. They were unreal. I mean, full.
You finished them?
Every single one, yeah.
What? Did you like swapping with your friends and stuff?
It was the thing at school back then.
That costs money, man. That's expensive, though.
You know, we're not talking about, it weren't no match attacks and all that stuff. Then back in the day, it was just like, everyone would come in a little jar of like stickers.
And
we'd just sit there and just swap. And you'd just be like, there'd be one kid you've never spoke to for 4 years at school.
Yeah.
Mate, you got Eddie McGoldrick? He's like, yeah.
That's how you're talking it.
Mate, I got some shinies, man. I got proper shinies. Like shinies, yeah.
Do you know what's crazy? You know, you just reminded me. You know when in school you used to see that kid with a bulging pocket?
Mm.
And he had all the players. He knew every player he had.
Mm.
Like he didn't have to go and check if there's Eddie McGoldrick. He knew.
Forget the revision your teacher told you to revise for your exam. I could tell you at the time, at that moment in my life, what number's 146? I'd be like, that's Stuart Nevercott, Tottenham. You knew each number that you needed. I had a list of numbers. I need these in my, and it was amazing. Great times. My mum and dad must have spent pounds. I mean, like lots of money on how many sticker books. And my dad used to come home sometimes with like 10 packs. Be like, there you go, son. I'd be like,
how good is that feeling,
just
though?
Sit there and just...
Yeah, that's noise, isn't it?
No, but then the idea of like, oh my God, I'd sit there for do it all. And then at the end of it, oh, God's sake, Dad, not one of them, like, Dad would come in and be like,
I'm grateful.
Have you found one? What did you get? Did you get one? I'd be like, no, not one, Dad. You got me 10 packets. Next time, get me 20.
Oh, you'd go like, Dad, you put a pressure on.
I weren't that bad.
Gegenpress your father.
Yeah, we're like, come on, Dad. He's like, down there. Next time, yeah, when you go in to pick the packets, like, take a couple in the middle, take a couple from the bottom, take a couple at the top. You know, mix it up a bit, Dad. Don't just take the first 10. Oh, it was so funny. We used to have so much banter back in the day, but yeah.
And was you playing yourself, of course?
Yeah, we played football, yeah.
You was the best in your school, of course.
I wouldn't say I was the best, but I was all me and my bro, we both played together. Mm. My dad always said if you guys were the, like, my brother used to play a bit like Roy Keane. Like really nasty in the tackle, used to win the ball back, old school kind of midfielder. And then I was the bags of pace. I used to be like head in the sprints, everything at school.
What player was you like? Give me a player you was like back in the day. Pobolski?
Pobolski.
Dennis Irwin.
I would say Robbie Keane.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were techie.
Okay.
I had a bit about me. I used to play. I have a bit of ability.
Yeah.
I wasn't a natural out and out goal scorer, but I used to be able to create things and like I'd score a wonder goal. Do you know what I mean? Like I always remember one of them because you were so influenced back in the day, and I hope kids are today too. But I was so influenced back in the day. I'd watch Match of the Day. I always remember that goal from Tony Yeboah when he like flicks over that guy's head and then he like he knees it and then volleys it into the top bins. And so like we'd practice that all day in the training every night. I'd practice it. I remember once I was playing against Morden Saints. I scored the best hat trick I've ever scored. I was like 8 or 9, no, about 10 years old, I think, something like that. And we won the game 3-2. And I literally, ball had bounced, I flicked it over this lad's head and I've kneed it and I've just volleyed it into the top bins. I mean, valid, the keeper was like, you know, 3 foot tall, but it went straight in the top bins and I was just like, I've scored the best goal. And I can still to this day remember
it. That's amazing.
It's my favourite goal. Yeah. I remember thinking, I've made it. I'm going to be a pro next year, but I never made it. But it was just like, yeah, I loved it. Loved playing kids football. I wasn't the best. I mean, I had lots of pace and as I got older, the techers came back into it because I wasn't always the quickest in the end.
But you played semi-pro. You didn't go pro.
No, I went semi-pro.
You played semi-pro. Witham Town.
Yeah.
12 goals in 13 games.
I'll take that.
That's not a bad record at all.
I'll take that.
That's serious.
I'll take that. It wasn't bad. But I didn't ever make it. I wasn't able to push it because there was a guy at the time, Cody McDonald, and he's a friend of mine, and he was a year or two younger than me. And he ended up playing for pro. He ended up playing for Gillingham, played like top pro football. He went from Witham Town to Dartford, then Witham Town to Maldon, Maldon to Dartford, then left Dartford and went to Norwich City, played in the championship at the time. And he was just like unbelievable. And he was in the team at the time with a guy called Kevin Hawes and a couple of other lads that we played with. And they were just better than me. I was playing the reserves. I was in and out. I'd come into the first team and play a few games, but didn't quite make it really. And then I got some bad injuries. And then, you know, I just decided that music was where I wanted to be. I was lucky, really. I just decided to stop playing. And then, you know what it's like at football clubs, with the boys, you only socialise out. After the game, you go into the bar, don't you? Have a few beers and have a laugh and a chat. And then you go out afterwards. And so I missed, when I got injured, I didn't really miss the playing. Mm. I didn't really miss the goals. Or I really missed the camaraderie and the laugh and the banter and the jokes and the stories from the night before. Like some of the lads turning up drunk on a match day. You're like, guys, where you been? I was like, oh, mate, oh, I've got to sober up before the game. You know what I mean? And then you'd have the chats afterwards. And I missed all that. And then that was when I started getting back into it. And then I said to the boys, like, where are we going afterwards? I go to the pub. And that's when I started doing karaoke. And that's how I got into music. Yeah.
You got into music, so kind of via football.
Massively.
Yeah.
Football was like, was everything. All the boys where we lived, it was like football, football, football. And then it was football, football, pub. Football, pub, football, pub every week. Mm. And I hated the pub, so I'd love the football. And then I was like, I can't do football anymore, so I'm going to have to go to the pub. And so me going to the pub with the boys, because I was like one of the best players or one of the better players, I was like, well, if I can't be scoring the goals, I've got to entertain the boys and feel part of it. So I'll tell you what, I'll just get up and just get the karaoke on and sing songs, have a bit of banter and have a laugh with the lads. Still part of it, you know? So that's kind of how I got involved. And then that's where it developed from. I just started singing and performing. And then it was funny because I met my manager, Ken. He's a Scottish guy. And we played away at a game and we got battered. And he told me this story recently when I saw him. And he goes, I remember he came in at Fort Damon with a lost. He said, and I'm f***ing doing a team talk and all I can hear is some in the shower singing. And he said, it's fucking you.
That's a good accent, by
and
the
he
way.
Came in and he had a right go at me. I never forget it. And when he told me, I went, oh my God, I remember that. And I was in the shower going, ah. And I'm like, oh, well, we lost the game. Who cares? You know? And he battered me. He goes, what, how can you be singing after the game? And then you didn't realise at the time that he was like, you sing all the time. He said, you used to sing all the time. And the lads used to always be in the shower having a laugh. And that was just part of me, really. And then I just went into music. Yeah.
Right, the next shirt is the unforgettable one, the shirt that opens the door to great football moments and standout seasons. And you went for the Manchester United 1999 home shirt. Now, I'm going to put my... Oh, boy, that's, for me, it was heartbreak.
Why?
Because I'm an Arsenal fan. So in 98, remember, we had our
run. Oh, the FA Cup game.
FA Cup, and Man United just...
Burkamp, penalty. Schmeichel. Oh. Do you remember that?
Of course. It's one of the first games I watched as a kid.
That game is such an iconic game. If any football fan is watching this and has not seen it, Google it, watch the highlights or watch the game. You know what? It was on TV during lockdown. They did the 90-minute game. She could watch the whole game again.
I never knew that.
Oh, my God, I watched it. And the ability, both the teams, the players that were on the pitch, the quality of football was amazing. It was such an atmosphere. And then when, obviously, Giggs does that goal, I mean, it's so iconic, isn't it? But that's that whole season. But the reason I love that shirt is because it just brings back memories of that, of what an unbelievable season that was.
No, it's you know what? It is a beautiful shirt. Is that a zip?
Yes.
Oh my God.
When the hell?
It's a jacket.
It's a jacket. Jacket potato. When was the last time you've seen a shirt with a zip?
It's
good true. I can't even. I don't think I've ever seen one.
I don't think that even happens anymore.
We had this little Umbro zip.
That's incredible.
And it just looked so cool. It was a great shirt. To be fair, I was going to pick that one or the Champions League shirt, because obviously that was so iconic, that one as well. With the red and the big badge around the Man United badge, the big thing around it, the emblem around it. Yeah, it was cool.
Heritage United. And the Umbro is written, and it's got like a little badge next to it, isn't it? It's got the Umbro logo next to the written Umbro.
It's just a great shirt, man.
It's great. The colour,
We were at our peak at that point.
Do you remember that game? Like, do you remember like the moment when those goals go?
You know, I never forget, right? So I'm at home and we are watching on ITV. So we're all sat there watching the game, and you know, obviously, as everyone knows, we got to like the 90th minute and we're losing. Like we're you know, 1-0 down. And I never ever forget this. My mum came down, and I would like to know if this is true. I remember my mum coming down and saying, I've just seen the news on the BBC, Manchester United have lost the Champions League final. And I'm like, no, we've just scored. We just equalised. My dad went mental, right? And my mum, I was like, no, wow, he scored. Went mental. Then my dad ran into the kitchen. He was like, got his party getting. My dad always had this special glass, right? His favourite glass to drink when he's watching football. It was a big old, like, double two-pint of glass, right? He's gone in there and he's got his ginger ale, half a bottle of whiskey, bosh, loads of ice, bosh. He's like, we've got another 30 minutes of extra time to go. And he's walked in from the kitchen. He's like, come on! Yeah! And he just threw it everywhere. We've gone mental. It's a school night. I've got school in the morning. I went to bed that night crying. I couldn't believe we'd actually done it. We'd won the treble. Like, it was huge.
That was so weird. It was like,
I lived every game
quick
that
goals,
season.
Man.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Like, and Solskjaer has won it. That great.
Stuck his leg out.
That great Clive Tildesley commentary of like, and Solskjaer has won it in the last minute of X or whatever it was. The line he loses. It was just so iconic, that whole moment. We were so crap in that game. Any United fan will tell you, we were awful. Bayern Munich were brilliant. We deserved to lose. Everything was in our favour for that. And that's why I picked that shirt, because it brings back a memory in my life where we watched every game, even the semi. I remember meeting Roy Keane, right? So I see Roy at the Old Firm Derby. Like, I've come off X Factor. I'm like, oh my God, Roy Keane's here. Again, forget any other celebrity I've met. Like, any worldwide pop star, it's Roy Keane. I've got to go and speak to him.
That's right.
So I met Roy and I was like, Roy, got chatting to him and I went, Roy, I said, I never forget that game against Juventus. You've got the yellow card, you're out the Champions League final. You are like everywhere. The header, he scores the goal, we win the game. He's like battered Zidane, battered Juventus, like we've made to the final. I said, that was the best game I'd ever seen you play for United. And he just cut me down, was like, I think I played better games than that. I was just like...
Standard.
You know, I was just like, yeah, I know you did, but it's a special game for me. And he was just like, I played better games than that. That wasn't my best game. I was like, oh my, I've only just met Roy Keane. I think he's going to chin me.
So first Canada, anyway, the collar's down. And now you've got
Canada,
to Roy Keane.
I collar down, met Keane. Giving him the big old, like, I'm just, you know, so excited to tell him. I just was like, that's got to be one of the best games you've ever played. He was like, oh, I played better games than that. I met Roy loads of times after that. He's still the same.
Yeah.
He's a killer.
Someone tried to take a selfie with him at the stadium.
Yeah, you can see that.
He's like, go away.
I asked him as well. I asked him for a picture. He said, no, not right now.
I'm glad he came off Instagram because he was killing me. He was so funny.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah. That was funny. So anyway, that shirt brings back lots of memories, yeah. talking about the 99 thing, I actually done a charity match after I'd done X Factor for Sport Relief. And I was in the dressing room with the 99 team. So I had Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Andy Cole, Dwight York.
Sheringham.
Jesper Blomqvist. Yeah, Teddy Sheringham was there. Like, it was unreal. Well, the Keno wasn't there. I don't think Scholes was there, or Neville, or Bex, but there was a lot of the other lads were there. And I never, ever forget Sir Bobby coming in at half-time, because he'd gone out and done, he did a penalty shootout with some of the fans. He came in at half-time, we're having a team talk, he just got stark naked in front of us, and was like, all right, boys, just gone for a shower, and we're just like, Sir Bobby Charlton.
What?
Just naked in front of me.
Just a little half-time shower.
Unbelievable. It was just like, you know, like proper lad. Like, this is Sir Bobby Charlton. He just walked in and was like, all right, boys. Just going to have a shower.
We were. We would do that.
I just couldn't stop looking. I was thinking, hello, all right, Bobby. It was just, honestly, I had to tell you that story because it just.
That's class.
For someone who come up, you know, like all the other boys, just it just blew my mind. Even now I can remember it like it was yesterday. I just sat there just thinking, like, this is just, obviously, this is just a normal football team. Lad, all the lads were together, all the boys, all the football, all your Man United legends. They've all had showers together.
Yeah.
I've never had a shower with Dwight York, Andy Cole, Teddy Sheringham, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Bobby Charlton.
Did you shower with them?
I was just like, oh, just get me naked now. Let me get in that shower. This is amazing. I know you think it's, and people might think that's a weird thing to say, but I'm like, this is just unbelievable. I'm never going to have this moment ever again.
Yeah.
I need to enjoy it. And I did. I was just like, this is unreal. Like,
so were you in the shower with all of them?
I was in there for about 2 hours. I came out literally like...
You know when your fingers go all crusty?
I was just like, I want to go home and tell the boys. Whatever. If my career ends tomorrow, I was like, I've got to tell the boys, did you have a shower with the 99 Man United team? I did. So a bit weird, but...
Were you having little peaks as well? Like, just looking.
100%.
Yeah, you have to. That's the whole point.
Yeah,
that's the whole point, man.
Well,
the rumours were true.
Get a tape measure out. Well.
But yeah, like, it was just for them little moments for me as a United fan, I'll never forget. Like, especially Bobby Charlton just walking in and going, just getting like, he didn't even, I don't know, it was just mad. It was just like incredible times, yeah.
We talk a lot about full circle moments. A lot of our guests that we've had on the show, and even ourselves, you know, you grew up watching a lot of these players, you end up sort of being friends with some people, you end up playing with them. It's so amazing. Life can be so amazing, the journeys it can take.
Mate, I honestly never thought in my wildest dreams I'd ever... And I got to play at Old Trafford. I just come off X Factor and I'm playing at Old Trafford with the 99 team. It was like, that moment for me was like... I've even sung at Old Trafford. I've been captain England at soccer aid at Old Trafford. Like, you know, I speak to a lot of my mates about it and they're like, yeah, he's done some amazing things on it. I'm like, trust me, walking at Old Trafford with my nephew... in front of 75,000 people meeting Pelé before the game and just having that moment was probably the best moment, one of the best moments of my life. And people would think that's mad, but I'm like, nah, that's like a dream of mine.
Childhood dream.
I managed to actually do that and not many people have had that opportunity. So I'm like,
Now, of course, you know, you burst into the scene when it comes to X Factor.
Yeah.
And you met Robbie Williams on X Factor, right?
Yeah.
But, and he's obviously, he runs Soccer Aid. Mm. So explain to me that, because that's crazy. How, did he just say to you, Ollie, I want you to come play?
Do you know what? It's funny. Yeah. Back in the day, they used to be like, you'd have to get, it was like an invitation.
Mm. Mm.
So I remember with the X Factor final and Robbie's come to back to perform with me, we're doing Angels. And I literally forget record deals, right? Forget anything. Mm. All me and Robbie really spoke about afterwards was like, all we talked about was football. Because this is football.
Who did he support?
He's United, likes United. Yeah, I think he still supports Port Vale as well and follows them, but I think his sort of Premier League team is United. That's what he told me anyway. I'm not throwing him under the bus. There, but he was like talking to me and he says, oh, Soccer Aid. I was like, oh yeah, wow. He said, we're doing it next year, 2010. So 2009, we're doing it next year. I'd love you to be a part of it. And he gave me this like invitation. It's like the golden ticket. It's like,
which has them on him.
It was like the chocolate, you know, Willy Wonka, the chocolate factory. I was like, I forget winning the X Factor. I couldn't give a shit now. I'm on the Soccer Aid next year. And I remember, like, there was loads of discussions leading up to it that following year that I might not be doing it. I think they had Mark Owen, Paddy McGuinness, there was a couple of other people, and they said, oh, Ollie, we're not sure we can add you to the list. So I remember messaging Robbie, going, Robbie, like, what's going on? Like, I want to be a part of the soccer. He was like, leave it with me. And he got me in.
Sick.
And, mate, it was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had.
Obviously, Robbie's a good friend of yours. I know you're like almost cousins now. And I'm looking to try and get some gold chocolate bars too. I want to get an invite to to the game. Can we make that happen?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Everyone always asks me. So over the years, I had like Tom Grennan asked me about it.
But he's on.
And he's on it now. Yeah, and like, loads of other people have asked me about it over the years. And I'm like, guys, just because I'm the captain, I have no say in it. And it actually, it really has nothing to do with me. And I actually felt really like, guys, like, stop asking me, because it makes, then it's like I'm lying.
Yeah.
But I'm like, honestly, if I had it my way, I'd be picking like, I'd do like 6 months. I'd be like Gareth Southgate. I'd be going out and watching everyone play at like their local team. So like, is he, right, okay, you know, what does he bring to the team? I'd be like proper.
Scouting. Yeah.
You know, if I was genuinely picking it, but I don't. It's not my thing. I just turn up like everyone else and they go, oh, here's your captain's armband. I'm like, all right, sweet. But it is great. And I'd love you to come and do
That's
it.
Crazy.
And if I can, I'll tell them.
I'm gonna hold you to that one.
We need a centre back.
I'm going to hold you to it, yeah.
We'll get onto the pitch. So who are you? Who are you? If we walked up. And it's Vooj. Hey.
Well, can I just say a quick one as well? Going back to the 99 story, right? So, again, another story just comes to my head. So I'm walking. We're in the warm-up. And we're walking towards the United fans. And as I'm walking towards United fans, I'm like, they're going, ole, 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 ole. And I'm like, and as I've done that, as I've got close to the fans, they're all looking in this direction. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was walking out.
You didn't check your wing mirrors. You didn't check your mirrors.
Wait, that's class.
Especially.
You didn't check your mirrors, Ole.
Like, I'm running, going, I've got like this.
Oh. And you got to you're stretching in it, you'll be like, hey. Oh.
Hey. That's class. That is class.
That is.
That is the best story we've had. That is the best story we've had.
It was so. I just couldn't believe it. I've only walked out Old Trafford and they were singing. No, never mind.
But there is a rivalry that has developed at one of these games I've heard, and it's with Jose Mourinho.
Oh, me and Jose.
Talk us through that. What's happened there?
Do you know what? The funny thing was, brilliant guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely, even though he managed United, I still back him to this day. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Now, everything that he said about that United team now has come
true. It's come out as true, yeah.
And he honestly, absolute genius. What a guy, such a lovely guy. And it was funny because during that week, he was honestly banter, brilliant guy to have around, really interesting to work with Jose Mourinho. I was like, wow, Jose's here. And we're in the touchline. And just before the corner got taken, he's like, next time you get the ball, I dig you out. I'm like, hey, all right, Jose, yeah. Shut up, bro. Yeah, no, Ollie, next time you get the ball, I dig you out. Off. What are you talking about? And the ball comes across, comes out, Johnny Wilkes gets it, passes to me. The next minute I know I'm on my arse. I've looked round. You can see my reaction. I'm like, what the fuck? I look round. He's scowling up the steps. He's laughing at me. And I was like, you know what? You weren't like, fair play. He just, he's box office. He just knows what he's doing. And, you know, at that time, you know, to big myself up a bit, I was probably one of the best players in the team. And he was just having a moment. And I just didn't forget it. I come off Soccer Aid and it was like worldwide news. CNN.
Yeah.
Or like, Ali Mears got hit last night by Jose Mourinho on the pitch, on pitch side. Watch this clip. And it was a great moment. And you know what? We laughed about it afterwards. And to be honest with you, I was just like, again, that's like people, great. Like it's funny because there's loads of people on troll online. I've had three really bad tackles on Soccer Aid. One was Jose, which was funny. Yapstan absolutely putting me into Rose Ed. And Fabio Cannavaro, I think, still has my ankle on his boot somewhere because he literally chakes me out the game with my ankle. I had to go off afterwards, right? And all the fans on all social media are like, yeah, I'd have done that to Mers. Yeah, f***ing have that. I'm like, but I'm like, amazing. I'm delighted that Yapstan smashed me because I'm a Man United
fan. Of course.
Fabio Cannavaro. He's like, he was the world's best player at that, like, well, a year, a couple of years. He's retired now, but he was, you know, voted one of the world's best centre-halves ever. it's taken me out. I was, if anything, I'm like over the moon. I can't believe this has happened. So it was like, you know, all them little moments are just, they're just great memories that I'll never forget. I mean, don't get me wrong, if I was in hospital afterwards with a broken leg, I probably wouldn't have said that, but it's amazing moments. That, and Soccer Aid's brought a lot of that to, for me, like special moments, yeah.
You did get your revenge though. I mean, at Loftus Road.
You know, I did actually, and that was a funny thing. And this is what really wound me up at the time, because everyone was slagging him off at United. You know, we had a weekend, we had 2 weeks off international break, and we had the Grenfell Tower. It was a great charity match they put on. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to come down. He told Grenfell, this is behind the scenes, he said, look, I'm not working. I want to make effort. I want to come down and play. I want to be part of it. I want to do something. And he just turned up and winning goal. Like, this is Jose Mourinho, one of the biggest managers in the world that's ever lived. You know, on his day off, decided to come down and be part of this charity match, which no one knew he was going to be a part of. He just wanted to be there. He wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to raise awareness for what we were doing at the time. It was just amazing. Like, hats off to him for doing that. And he came down and he stood in goal, and I was just like, right, you're getting it from me now. I'm going to, like, if I get a chance, you're having it. And then I didn't get a chance all game, and then they were like, we've got penalty shootout. And he was proper in my face. He was proper, like, he was giving it all, like, where you going to go, man, sir? You bottle it? You bottle? You want to bottle it? You want to score against me? No. I'm like, he's getting in my head here. But then when he stood in the goal, I was like, oh, mate, if I put this top bins, you ain't getting near
it. He dived, though. He tried.
Yeah, he did. Mate, but I didn't realise that's his actual position. If you read, I don't know if you read up on it.
Is it?
Mourinho was like a goalkeeper or something, yeah? Yeah.
Wow.
He's like a proper goalkeeper. So I'm thinking, whoa. Anyway, I stuck it in the top. And you see me, I'm like, yeah. You see my celebration. I'm like, come on, have some of that, Jose. So again, just a great guy. Like, you know, gets a bad rep sometimes, Mourinho. I know he says some things that are a bit controversial, and
he's a legend.
But when you meet someone, when they talk to a manager straight after a game, that's obviously what you get. You know, most managers and most human beings, if you've just come off a game of football and you've just got battered, you're going to be honest, you know. Mm. But when you actually see them behind all that in an environment where no cameras, it's just you and Jose Mourinho, what an amazing guy to talk to. So intellectual about football, so knows so much about it. He studies it, he knows so much. Great guy.
The next one is the haunted one. This one, we're going to breeze through because I know you hate it. Liverpool 04-05, they won the Champions League. How was that for you as a Man United fan? One of the greatest games to ever happen. Probably eclipses the 99 game.
You know what? I could have picked any Liverpool shirt, to be honest. You know, like them winning the Premier League, Istanbul. You know, I think the reason why Istanbul haunts me because I think it rivaled Manchester United. We had that sort of title for many years of like the 99 being like the greatest final ever because of how iconic that moment was. But you know, you have to put your hat off to Liverpool. I mean, it was, what a game for them to win it. You know, being 3-0 down at half time, coming back to 3-3, then going to the penalty shot, the Jerzy Dudek, I never forget the save of Shevchenko, which was probably the worst penalty I've ever seen. But like, fair play to like Liverpool at the time. It was meant to be, wasn't it? It was written in the stars, that final. And just when you hear the stories, actually, since then you see Jamie talk about it, Jamie Carragher, and you've seen read Steven Gerrard and book, and people talk about that moment and the changes he made at half time and stuff. Incredible. So yeah, it does haunt me. Anything Liverpool related haunts me. But a lot of my closest friends are Liverpool fans, so we have a lot of banter and a lot of respect. And I think it's because of the history between both clubs. Yeah. There's a lot of respect there between both of them. And I never forget going to Anfield. I just made a big mistake on the X Factor. I don't know if you guys remember it. Bit of a big mistake at the time. I got the deadlock moment wrong on the show. You can watch it online. It's not a great watch. It's funny. You'll laugh, but it wasn't for me at the time. But I remember I went to watch Manchester United versus Liverpool, Anfield. And I never forget, I've gone into the director's box, I've got director's tickets, I was buzzing, I couldn't believe it. And Kenny Dalglish and Sir Alex Ferguson are there. And I can never understand what Kenny Dalglish is saying because his accent's so strong. And he was basically he was laughing, he's like, oh, what are you doing? X Factor, And I'm like, yeah. And I'll never forget, I was stood there and I had these trousers on, right? They were like this. And I don't know why they were raised up. And Kenny Dalglish and Sir Alex Ferguson going, yeah, you're f***ing expect them floods, are you? And I just stood there.
It's all going wrong.
I'm getting absolutely caned by Kenny Dalglish and Sir Alex Ferguson at Old Trafford, at Anfield. And I just remember stood there, you expecting floods. Oh. And I remember just laughing and, I mean, the rivalry between Arsenal and Man United. And also as a United fan, when you saw the great Sir Alex with, you know, the great Sir Kenny, and both of them at Anfield with the biggest rivalries in football, the biggest rivalry in football, I think, well, one of the biggest, to see them together in that moment of where, like, I'm a Man United fan, it's like, I hate anything Liverpool. It's like, oh, you can see that there's a lot of respect between the two clubs, but...
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's a funny story.
You were there just expecting floods in the middle.
It was just the way they stood there in the director's box. I was like, all right, it's great to see you, Sir Alex. I've met Sir Alex a couple of times. Oh, great to see you, Sir Alex and Kenny. Great to see you. I get on really well with them, actually. And it was just the way that Kenny caned me, one, about the X Factor, and then obviously looked down at me. Just the way he looked, he went, you expect them floods?
Legends, man.
Sorry. Anyway. But anyway, any Liverpool shirt is a bit
awkward. So what's your thoughts on Liverpool now?
Right now, currently, you know what? Listen, they've had great, the last 4 or 5 years have been nothing short of amazing. You know, great squad, great manager. I think that maybe they're at that point where it could be that start of that transitional part of the club where they might have one more season with these group of players, but there might be a few changes. Henderson's getting quite old now. Milner's getting quite old. And there's a few of them boys. You know, Salah, even though he's not old, he's still his early 30s, but I don't know if his heart's in it. I think there's a few. They've bought Nunes. They've got Jota. I think Diaz. That looks like there's going to be the next front three they've got. I'm not sure if Firmino's going to be there much longer either. So I think there's definitely changes that will be made.
Better
there.
For you, though. Now it feels more of a rivalry now because, I mean, two years ago,
they were sweeping teams. I don't think so. Listen, we beat them recently.
Yeah, I had one.
And you know what? I'll take it. But, you know, again, if you go back and watch the game, yeah, they've dominated for large periods of that game. We rode our luck a lot of the time. And, you know, no doubt when we play Liverpool at Anfield, it's going to be a different story. So, I mean, listen, I was there when they beat us 5-0. Old Trafford last year. I had the worst hangover. I'd just been out with Joe Hart on a piss up in Liverpool and got absolutely wasted. And the next morning, I was like so buzzing to watch the Man United game. I had a bit of a hangover, but I was like, yeah, come on, this is it. We're going to turn our season around. And then we got, and I just remember Ollie was still the manager then. Oh, mate.
It's hard times for me.
And they were singing.
Times.
What was you singing, Mike? What are they singing?
On the Wheel.
Ollie at the wheel, and I was just in tears. Oh, it was the worst hangover I've ever had, the worst game of football I've ever seen. And you know what? Like, you know what? Credit to United fans that day and the Liverpool fans. You know, that even though they were humbling us and we were getting, you know, the fans and the respect, even the fans and the United fans that stayed. You know, it was a great atmosphere. Actually, it was a horrible game.
The last kit we're going to go into is the named one. It's the one player you would have to have on the back of your shirt.
Any shirt.
You've gone Cristiano Ronaldo. We've gone for 09-010, Real Madrid. It's very nice. It's a nice kit.
Any shirt.
But any shirt you could have with his name on
any
the back.
Any shirt with Ronaldo, CR7.
Not the original.
I love Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah.
But for me, in my era of football, my generation of growing up, like, Ronaldo's the same age as me. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of like... A bit like my dad, really. If you speak to my dad, it's like there's certain players that, like, Brian Robson was his hero. Mm. But, like, Brian Robson and my dad are, like, pretty much the same age, I think, in and around that. So it's like, I watched Ronaldo come to United as a young boy, when I was a young boy, and I've seen him grow into the player that he's become. And in modern day era of my generation of football player, I will be talking about Ronaldo for years and years to come. There's loads of great players. Like, Beckham was I was a big Beckham fan. God, I could have had Beckham, but... Just Cristiano, just for the sheer basis of what he achieved in football and what he's doing still at the age he is just freak of a player. But just unbelievable. Like, some of the best memories as a Man United fan was even just Ronaldo. When Ronaldo was at Man United, originally when he came through, it was just like, wow.
Guys, brilliant, isn't he?
And then I was like, when Ronaldo was king, trust me now, that was the best time on FIFA. I can't remember what FIFA it was, but when it was the Ronaldo, when it was the Real Madrid Ronaldo team with Bale, Benzema, yeah, that yeah. whole setup, mate, you were winning FIFA, I'm at who had
Ozil actually. Ozil
possibly. Yeah.
You got a signed Ronaldo kit at home.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I got a signed one for my birthday.
Nice.
It's actually funny, the great story about this quick one is I won GQ Man of the Year in Germany.
As you do in Germany.
Mad. And ooh, they asked me, now, going back to when I was over in Germany with my album's early days, Toni Kroos was a huge fan. He's come to all my gigs.
Wow.
I know.
Baller.
It's mad.
Baller.
So Toni Kroos always messaged me, and I actually sung at his wedding. I actually performed at his wedding. Yeah.
You sung at Toni Kroos' wedding?
And Joe Hart.
You're just saying it like it's nothing, man.
Yeah, I know, by the way. And it is. I've done Darren Fletcher's, Joe Hart, and Toni Kroos, right? So they flew me to Germany to sing at his wedding. Amazing. He's a big fan, like big fan of my music. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. So Toni Kroos, love you, legend.
Love you too.
So Toni came and gave me he flew over from Real Madrid on a private plane. I didn't know this was happening. He flew over to hand me my award at the GQ Man of the Year in Germany, which is like a huge event. He came over on a private plane and did a speech, everything, like gave me the award. It was like, unbelievable. I can't believe it, Toni Kroos. So, obviously, so we had a contact with Toni, and my best mate contacted him and said, would you get Ollie a signed Ronaldo shirt? And he was like, yeah. So got a Ronaldo signed jersey for my birthday. So
epic.
Yeah. And you know what's really annoys
crazy.
Me? Do you know what really annoys me? And I've never, ever asked him. He's always said, Ollie, anytime you want to come, burn about, come watch me and the boys, come. And I'm like, yeah, I'll come. And I was so busy during that period of my life. I never had a chance to go over. And it kicks me now because I could have gone over and maybe met CR7. And
probably
like,
would have, yeah.
And Toni would have been like, come down to dressing room. And I'd be like... So I missed out on that opportunity. But yeah, I mean, amazing memories. And even talking about it now, I'm like, it's mental, really.
It's amazing.
Although I was with James Arthur at Soccer Aid, and I was telling him these stories, and he was like, well, said I'm going to be performing for CR7 soon. And he had a DM from Cristiano Ronaldo asking him to do a gig for him. No. And I was like, fuck you.
There's your boxing match.
He was like, yep. And I went, I was like, prove it. And he showed me his DM on Instagram.
No.
CR7 messaged him saying, yeah, I want you to perform at something. I don't know if that's happened. It probably has now.
Imagine Ronaldo messaging you just randomly.
So as much as I love CR7, he's clearly not a fan of my music.
It's not too late. We'll find out.
Yeah?
We'll find out.
I think he'll message us one day.
Of course.
Like, I love Stripped. Can I come on? I'm like, yeah, of course, man.
But yeah, any shirt, Cristiano, CR7, the man.
Oh, man.
He's the GOAT. He really is the GOAT. And by the way, it's not even... Messi's the GOAT. Both of them are GOATs. They're both the greatest of all time.
Mm. They're going to be multiple GOATs.
Unbelievable. Like, were you telling me if you had Pele, Maradona, Zidane, Ronaldo and Messi all in a room, you're turning around and saying only one of them's the GOAT. They're all GOATs. Yeah. They're all farm. On a farm somewhere together, just like we're the best.
Of course. Yeah. Any albums coming up? Any tours coming up for the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know there's going to be more football players that are going to ask you to sing at the wedding, and I want to come on body pop. Oh, singing, yeah. So, because they're going to be watching now. We've got to get ourselves in.
So when he's doing the singing, you'll be body popping on stage.
Of course.
What can I do?
Body pop as well. We could do
just body pop with you.
Yeah, you just make sure you're in time and in sync. Don't just like stand
can
and
I just
do
work
it?
At a wedding? I'd rather not. I don't want a body pop. I might just do like service.
So I'm body pop by myself.
Like topless service. You know when there's topless service? With the plates.
But are you part of my team, or are you just there?
If you want me to be, I don't know.
It's cool if you guys
there.
Just like, oh, we're part of Ollie's like team.
Yeah, but I'm working.
Oh, you want to work?
But I'm part of the team.
Oh. Yeah.
So you bring a worker.
Have you ever seen Wedding Crashers? That's what you guys should be.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that'd be a really sick YouTube thing.
Crashing weddings.
Wedding crashing
that's
footballers'
That's a great TikTok
wedding.
Series.
Wedding crashing footballers' weddings.
Oh, that's mad, because they got a guest list.
Ah, don't matter.
Just turn up.
So the next wedding you do, or sing at, of course, we're going to come and crash it.
That'd be a good idea.
Oh, we'll crash it. Thinking about that, that's viral right there.
I'll get it started. So next time I get a call, which could be, by the way, this might not start for like 4 or 5 years, but if I get a call for a wedding as a football player.
Us two, just crash it.
We'll crash, you guys can crash it.
Ah, oh, sick. Well, I mean, tell us a little bit more though about the new album and the
Yeah, so new up. Album's coming out, Marry Me, comes out 2nd of December. And then I've got a new tour coming out, which is called the Marry Me Tour, which is going to be out in April, May next year.
Amazing.
So that's really cool, exciting. New music, it's nice to be back with new tunes. And just excited, man. Like, it's been a long couple of years, like a lot going on. So probably the happiest I felt in my life. Got an amazing fiance, got all my life set up. I just want to get back doing music again, do what I love, and try and get a few of them football weddings, you know?
Oh, dude, you've got plans, Ollie. Ollie, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, Ollie.
Listen, I'm your neighbour as well, so if you need any centre-backs, five-a-side, eight-a-side, nine-a-side, 13-a-side.
Do you play in the five-a-side league
there? I'm playing Hainault right now.
You want to play in the Loughton the league with Wright in that, right? Yeah. Mark Wright plays in the Loughton league. Yeah, I played in it. It's decent, to be fair.
Mark Wright, if you need, I'm in Epping, so if you need a centre-back with glasses on, shout me, man.
You are desperate to get out on soccer.
Of course.
You have to. You must be a boy. By the way, you must be a player. You couldn't be bigging yourself up this much if you can't play.
I think I'm the best player in my house. I live by myself. Ollie, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, Ollie, man. Thank you to our guys at Classic Football Shirts for the wonderful shirts you've seen today on the show.
This has been Stripped, brought to you by William Hill.
18 plus, gamble responsibly.